Welcome to the Midday with Stephanie. That would be...
That would be me.
You. I'm Norman. And then we have a guest whose name we've been having fun pronouncing.
We would say Henning Kraggerud, and he would say...
Henning Kraggerud.
Which is a lot more fun, but I'm sure we would just have to work at it longer to get it right each time. Welcome.
Welcome to the Midday.
Thanks a lot.
It's Henning nice to be here. Is from Norway, which is why he has such a beautiful accent.
Well, thank you.
And brought with him, although I haven't actually seen it, I've heard it, a beautiful violin.
A 1744 Guarneri?
Yes, it is a Guarneri del Gesso, a fantastic instrument. I'm so happy to be able to borrow from a foundation called Dextra Musica. It's really one of the greatest instruments, so I'm very lucky.
Do you ever let it out of your sight, though?
No, I have it here next to me. So.
Well, that means you're carrying it through the sub-zero weather.
Yes, you have to take especially care in this kind of temperature, but I'm used to it from Norway, so here it's very seldom this cold, I hear, but in Norway we have it almost every winter. So.
This is pretty extreme for us. Very dry inside. The humidity is so low. How do you handle that with your violin?
That's a hassle, actually. I have to turn on the shower in the hotel room 10 minutes before I start to practice, and then hopefully the fire alarm is not the optimal type. I have actually turned on a few fire alarms before, but it seems to be good on this hotel.
Well, a worthy cause and just part of the excitement of playing such a great instrument. You are going to be performing... This weekend.
Henning is here. He's going to be appearing with the Madison Symphony Orchestra performing the Sibelius Violin Concerto three times, Friday night, Saturday night, and then again on Sunday afternoon. That's quite a lot of playing. That's a fairly challenging piece.
Yes, it is, but it's one of the best violin concertos ever written, I think, and such a great masterpiece. So I always like to play that, so it can never be too often.
It has this sort of difficult history to it. I was noticing this morning as I looked through some of the notes for that, that the first person to whom it was dedicated turned it down. He couldn't perform the debut. And so, well, that was all right. They got somebody else who made a mess of it. And then a second time that happened, and he was so disgusted that he said, okay, I'll never play it. And so Sibelius dedicated it to a 12-year-old violinist.
And he even reworked it, though. So the first version, which is possible to buy on the recording but not actually allowed to play from his family, is even a bit longer and contains... what I would say, even more difficult places. But Sibelius used quite a long time to rework this concerto. So the version we know now is also much better musically than the first version, in my opinion.
And the third and final movement of the Sibelius has been described, I think this was disparagingly, as polar bears dancing?
Yes, some people said that. Actually, in my recording, which you might be hearing later, you will not hear so much of that because I chose a rather fast tempo for it. But it was a well-known critic who said that, and it became very fashionable to say.
Well, let's hear it. Let's go ahead and hear that final movement then from the Sibelius Violin Concerto in D minor with our guest, Henning Kraggerud, and the Bournemouth Symphony here. Bear in sight. Quite the tempo that you put into that finale of the Sibelius Violin Concerto.
Yes, I think a good score opens for very many different types of interpretation. There isn't one way to play it. And just that that day when I recorded it, it felt really exciting to do it this way. And when you read about the tempo markings which are from Sibelius' hands in some scores. Actually, the way he put those markings was that he called the violinist, he sort of liked the performance and said, "What tempo do you play those in?" And she said, "Oh, I have to find out. I'll call you back in a day." And then he got the numbers and put in the score. So, I mean, it isn't that serious. But even those tempos are faster than usually people play.
Well, that's certainly exciting.
That's the violin concerto that will be on tap this weekend with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. Henning Kragerud is our guest this afternoon on the midday, and he'll be appearing this Friday night and then on Saturday night as well, and Sunday at 2:30 with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. They'll be conducted by guest conductor Daniel Hege. Also on the program is music of Mozart, the Paris Symphony, and some selections from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet.
So, I don't know if I should ask this question or not, but when you're playing a series like that, three concerts on a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday mm-hmm. afternoon, do you have any kind of a sense of which one is likely to be the best?
No, you never know that, and you cannot trust yourself either. Sometimes when orchestras record all three, and I listen to the tapes afterwards, I'm not necessarily agreeing with what I thought myself. So, but sometimes special things happens. I mean, you get a certain energy from the audience or something. But I think some of the fun of actually doing live concerts is that it can be different each night. And then since it's very subjective, people seldom tend to agree. So sometimes I've had people from orchestra coming to me saying, "Oh, the second night was the best," and some other comes and say, "Oh, the third night was the best," and some say that it was the first night. So I think this is also one of the great things of art, because it involves so many different things and you are not supposed to agree totally about it.
It's very subjective.
It is. Mm-hmm. And a piece like this, Sibelius, now we heard of last movement, which is sort of not too dark, but the first movement is also even more desperate and in minor key. And it contains so much possibilities for expression. So this is why I also like to play this concerto very often, because whatever you experience of delayed flights and frustration and bad hotels and whatever you might, that you can really play it all out. And so while when you're playing Mozart and Beethoven, you need to find the inner peace and get the balance before entering stage. With Sibelius, you can be sort of furious and it's just feeding the music. So
I never thought of it quite
so way. It's good for modern day life.
Well, speaking of self-expression, you are also a composer.
Yes,
can you tell us a little bit about the music that you compose?
Yes, well, I started to compose already when I was 8 years old, so I've done it most of my life. And sadly, I don't have as much time for it as I would wish. Last 10 years, maybe, my music has been in the vicinity of composers like maybe Janáček. So it's still tonal, but not in a sort of pretty Mozartian way, though. I'm not agreeing with the sort of people who said that tonality is died. I think that some poets tried to say that the novel was dead and nobody actually paid them much attention. But when Schoenberg said that tonality was dead, people started to actually believe that, and that was a great shame for classical music.
Well, Schoenberg even came in and out of tonality, though.
When he wrote, and actually, towards the end of his life, he said he was wrong. But his followers have kept that sort of hidden.
So much of it is just in the image that you start out with. Mm. That's right.
Do you compose for the violin?
Quite a lot for the violin, but not only. So if anybody are listening for and want to commission a piece, I will write for whatever instruments.
Very interesting. The challenge has been issued.
Yes. There you go. Composer at large. Also on the same CD from Naxos that has the Sibelius, you have a very different violin concerto by Christian Sinding, which has a much more lyrical, less Sibelian brooding quality to it.
Yes, they actually met each other, and Sibelius had great esteem for Sinding. They met in Germany, and Sinding is having now a period where he's getting more and more famous again. At around 1900, he was very famous. He shared a prize with Puccini as being the most important composer in Europe at that time. But after that, he became very...
more obscure, yes.
Yes, but I think now you're looking back at the composer and say who deserves to be played again, and Sinningen is one of those composers. So
yeah, there's a lot there, and he's always been just kind of like bubbling under the surface of general recognition, Sinningen has.
Yes. People have just about maybe heard about him, but don't know more than maybe the Rustle of Spring or a few pieces.
Oh, that's right. Rustle's of Spring. That's probably his most famous, isn't it?
His most played piece.
Well, let's play something that needs more attention then from Sinding. This will be the first movement of his Violin Concerto No. 1 in A with our guest, Henning Krügerud, and the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. First movement of the Violin Concerto No. 1 in D by Christian Sinding, with our guest as the soloist there, Henning Krügerud, playing with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, with a conductor by the name of Bjart Engeset. Beautiful stuff, and not so often heard.
And he'll be performing some beautiful stuff this weekend in Wisconsin with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. He'll be performing the Sibelius Violin Concerto with the Madison Symphony Orchestra Friday night, Saturday night, and then again on Sunday. And, you know, you mentioned that you've recorded a number of CDs with Naxos. Have you focused pretty much on the Scandinavian composers, or what kind of repertoire have you performed?
Well, not only, I've done quite a lot of Norwegian stuff for Naxos, and also record for some other companies, but in addition, I last year gave out Belgian composer Eugène Isaïe, but this was on Simax label.
Solo violin. Works.
Solo violin sonatas, yes. And this year, next year, or in about a year, it will come another Isaïe recording, this time on Naxos, with his chamber music, which are very seldomly heard.
Chamber music? Will that be quartets? Or
actually, it's a one-string trio and one duo for two violins.
Mm.
It's interesting stuff. And actually, the Isaïe, for me, it falls into the category you were mentioning earlier, being 20th century, very early 20th century, but... somewhere in between, you know, totally accessible and a little angular. Mm.
And this is what particularly interests me about it. Mm. It is really looking for the boundaries of music, but in another way. So it's challenging to play and to listen, but it's filled of meaning, and it takes things you are familiar with and turn it into something else, instead of sort of inventing everything from scratch.
Which is what music has tended to do for the last several hundred years.
Yes. I mean, there has been a tradition, and actually classical music tradition has survived, but through film music and other means. So there is a living classical music tradition, and you can even say composers or group like Beatles and ABBA and whatever, it's built on what classical composers before have found of chords. So it's music shouldn't be separated too much into just classical or just jazz or pop. There are connections between them.
Sure, a lot of classical music came out of folk music. I mean, Haydn,
also, yes.
You know, country dances turn up in Haydn symphonies.
And other things. I mean, they found out that quite much of the Norwegian folk music come from Baroque music. So some folk music that some people heard, some Baroque music, and then translated it into folk music. So it goes both ways.
Keeps those musicologists busy.
Yes, it does.
Well, thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to meet you and to hear your music. We'll look forward to hearing more, all those recordings coming out on Naxos, and of course the performance is this weekend here in Wisconsin.
That's right. He has five recordings on Naxos, three in the pipeline, and a couple on other labels, and he'll be performing this weekend with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. And you can find that information on the web at madisonsymphony.org, or if you'd like to call for tickets, that number is 608-258-4141. And again, our guest has been Henning Kroggerud. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.